Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Almighty God, we're here to worship you this morning. That's what you created us for, and that's what we're doing. And we thank you for that opportunity on a beautiful spring day. Lord, you know there's not anybody in this room that could walk into the Oval Office to have a conversation with the president. We couldn't get into the governor's office to have a conversation with Governor Lee. And most of us couldn't even get into the mayor's office to talk to them. But we can come before the creator of the universe, the one true God. We can come face to face with the Lord of hosts. We're here today, Lord, to worship you. Everything that we have came from you. We have nothing that we've done on our own that you didn't provide for us. And so now, Lord, we're here to worship. So, Father, bless the rest of the service to come. Be with Cal as he preaches and Billy as he teaches. And we give our hearts over to you this morning and pray you'll open them to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's okay to praise the Lord. Go ahead. I just want to give a plug for Wednesday night. These kids that y'all saw up here, they do missions and music on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. And I want to invite all of you to start bringing your kids on Wednesday night. And then the rest of you adults can hang with us as we give God praise and pray together. Fabulous times here on Wednesday nights. And I just give God all the glory for the people who are pouring into the lives of our teenagers and our middle schoolers, our high schoolers, our children. It takes everybody working together. It really does. It takes everybody going the second mile to get folks to Jesus. Amen? So if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to start off in Acts chapter 20. And I'm just going to read one verse there, verse 35. But this is going to kind of be a topical message this morning. And I'm not good at topical messages. I do better when you give me a text of Scripture and just start moving through that particular text. But you'll see why we're doing this here in just a minute. But been into a sermon series on what it means to follow Jesus. So if you have found Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, would we honor God's word by standing to our feet again? All right, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And here's what I want us to get to. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, we sense your spirit here. We sense your presence with us. Now, God, as we open your divine, holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word, God, apply it to our hearts today. Help us to hear from you. I thank you so much, God, for what you're doing in these days through these particular people. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. We are in the third series of sermons on what it means to follow Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we looked at if you're following Jesus, you have been baptized into this majestic, mysterious, mighty body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, that means you're a follower of Jesus, and every part is expected to play his or her part. Every part of the body of Christ. And then last week we learned if you're truly following Jesus, that you are a person of prayer. You believe in prayer, and you're radical enough that you even practice prayer individually and together with other believers. Well, this morning we are looking at probably this is a subject that makes more folks antsy and tore all to pieces than any other subject. As a matter of fact, Jesus addressed this subject more than any other subject. More than heaven, more than hell, more than prayer, more than salvation. Because he knew we'd have trouble with it. We're talking this morning about giving. Look at your neighbor and say, oh boy. Here's what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus said, God loves a cheerful giver. You may have wondered, why do we all shout and scream and smile every time we take up an offering? Because it's scriptural. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, as a pastor, I've watched folks during the offering time over many, many years, close to 30 years. And you would be amazed at the reaction of the crowd during the offering time. Now, some folks are tickled pink, and they've got a smile on their face, and they can't wait for the plate. Now, I'm talking now about the way things were during our time before March of last year, okay? I mean, the ushers had come forward, and then the pastor would pray over the offering or designate that somebody pray over the offering, and then the plates would begin to go through the pews and through the rows and all that. And there's some folks who really, you know, can't wait for the plate to get to them, so because they recognize that God loves a cheerful giver and they're ready to put it. And then there's another crowd. They get white as a ghost. The closer the plate gets, the more nervous they break. This is true. I'm telling you all the truth. You can watch. You can look. They'll break out into a sweat. Their hands start trembling. And it's so hard to get into that wallet or that pocketbook. I call this condition cirrhosis of the giver. And it affects every church. When Jesus said God loves a cheerful giver, that's what it takes to follow Jesus. Now, I know we don't have anybody in here that has that condition today of cirrhosis of the giver, right? I think by and large we're pretty much a giving church. But this message is for everybody. And so we're going to look at, am I a cheerful giver this morning or not? And what does that entail? What does that look like? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And there's a reason he says that. Some of y'all, I'm looking at you and you're sitting there thinking, well, goodness gracious, why did I show up here this morning? See, I know, because I are one of you. So if you'll come to this with an open mind and understanding this is part of what it means to follow Jesus, you'll be blessed today. Okay? So I said this is topical. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 24. Here's a great truth that we all need to understand. Everything that we have belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs to God. Psalm 24 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. In other words, what the psalmist is telling us here is that if you're looking at it, God made it. And it's his. He owns the universe. He's the creator of the universe. Everything belongs to him. Either, and everything you've got is either directly or indirectly from him. the clothes on your back. Thank God he gave you some clothes to wear today. Amen? The house, the home that you live in, it's his. The car you drove up here in, it's his. Your children, they're his. Your grandchildren, they're his. The money in your bank account, it's his. The air we breathe, it's his. It all belongs to him. That's what this scripture means. Everything on the earth, in the earth, around the earth, the entire universe is his. Now, if it's all his, what am I doing with it? Well, we are simply managers of God's wealth. Do you know what Haggai 2:8 says? All the silver and all the gold is mine, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. Even your money is his. Your CDs, your retirement account, your Social Security check, it's all his. And what we've been entrusted with is to simply manage God's wealth. You're nothing more than a manager, a steward of God's wealth. And by the way, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that it is God who gives you the power to get his wealth. It all comes from him, and it all belongs to him. Now, here's a novel thought. How many of y'all have a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law? Raise your hand. Now, they're probably here or close by. You better raise that hand way up here so they know you're proud of them. How many of y'all have a child? All right. Grandchildren? We don't need to go there. Anyways, here's a novel thought. Everything in your possession is going to be in somebody else's possession real soon. Yeah, that son-in-law of yours is going to get everything you got. That daughter-in-law, she's getting it. And so you've only been given just a short time. Just a short time. To manage God's wealth. And I want to tell you what. If you'll surrender to this concept, this principle this morning, that God owns it all, it's all his, it all belongs to him, and whatever it is that I have in my possession, he gave me, and I'm just supposed to manage his wealth for him for a short time, and then it's turned over to somebody else, it'll set you free. It will. It'll set you free. It's not yours. It's his. Tell somebody it's all his. So, if it's all his, what am I supposed to do with it? I am so glad you asked. We're to honor God with our giving. We are to honor God with our giving. With me so far? All right. We're going to go to another verse of Scripture. This is probably, in the Bible, the greatest passage on giving anywhere. It's in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. While you're finding that, now I want everybody to see this. Malachi 3. If you're there, say amen. If you don't know where Malachi is, find Matthew. First book in the New Testament and turn left a page or two. You'll find Malachi. All right, let's read this. Malachi 3 and verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? So the people of God needed revival. I said the people of God needed revival. They had moved away from God. They had walked away from God. It wasn't God who moved, it was them. So what was happening with them that God was not pleased with? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Have y'all ever been robbed? It's an awful feeling. Diane and I came home one Sunday night after we'd been to church, and the front door was cracked open. This was years ago. So I told the girls to stay in the car, and I went on up into the house, and sure enough, we'd been robbed. And I felt so angry, I felt just violated, just felt nasty, dirty, you know? And yet, we robbed God. How do you think that makes him feel? Take a look at this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. When we hold back that which is his, we rob God. And then you know what we do? On Sunday mornings, we ask God to bless the robbery. You see the word tithe there? Evidently, it's his tithe too. He said, you've taken it from me. You've robbed me. Now, the word tithe means a tenth. Now, I'm just doing some teaching right now, okay? Not doing a lot of preaching, just some Bible teaching here about giving. Now, a tithe means a tenth. And let me tell you, this word tithe goes all the way back to Genesis 14. Long before the law was ever handed down to Moses. The tithe has been around for a long time. Abraham, as a matter of fact, had just whipped 5 pagan kings. Great victory. And he had all these spoils of victory. And all of a sudden, this mysterious stranger shows up. Never seen him before or since. And his name is Melchizedek. And he shows up with communion material. Bread and wine. And so he and Abraham have this meeting. Now, this is significant because the scripture in Genesis 14 and 20 through 22 tells us who this guy is. He's king of Salem, king of Shalom, king of peace. And he's the Most High God, priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek, Melech is the Hebrew word for king. Zedek is the Hebrew word for righteousness. So he's the king of peace. He's the king of righteousness. He's the priest of the Most High God. The only one I know of that meets all three of those titles is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an Old Testament appearance of our New Testament Savior. And he shows up in this communion service with Abraham. And what does Abraham do? He gives him a tenth. Of all that he had, a tithe. And then you get over to Genesis 28, verse 22. And Jacob, the patriarch, gives a tithe to the Lord. And then Moses, over there in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, gives a tithe to the Lord. And tells the children of Israel that we're to give a tithe, a tenth to the Lord. That's the beginning point. Of stewardship and managing God's wealth. And by the time you get over to the New Testament, the New Testament simply assumes that we'll be doing things like tithing, praying, and fasting. Matthew 23:23. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 tells us that we're to bring that tithe on the first day of the week. That's when the New Testament church met. Our Sabbath is when? Sunday. That's the first day of the week. Some of y'all have got this moon calf look. Y'all with me? So, Malachi 3 says, how have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? And then he look at verse 9. Watch this. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Do you want you and your family to be under a curse? I think that's what's wrong with a lot of us today. A lot of our families. Oh, maybe not a lot of you here. Online. Other places. I don't know about you, but I want my family to be blessed. And I'll make you a promise. If you will sell out to this principle of giving in your life and your family's life, God won't curse you. He'll bless you. That's what he says. Now, watch this. He says, look at verse 10, Malachi 3. bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, I've had people over the years ask me, well, Pastor, do we give off the gross amount or the net amount? And you know what I'll say? Y'all know how I am. Do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing? You see, that kind of attitude is trying to figure out how little I can give and yet still get away with it. And still, God still be good with it. No, you take 10% off the top and you bring it to God's. Now, here he says, bring it to the storehouse that there may be food. Now, in Israel, in those days, you got an agrarian society and you had these storehouses built. And so the people of God would bring their first fruits, the tops of their crops and their grain and their wheat, and they'd bring it and put it in these storehouses so that the priest and others could have food to eat. They'd bring their cattle and their sheep, the first tenth, the best part of their income, and they'd bring it. That was a tithe. And so today, we bring that first 10% off of your gross income, and you bring it and you give it to the Lord. And if you do that, look what happens. He says, try me now in this. This is the only time in the Bible where it says, God saying, you test me in this. You prove me. I double dog dare you. That's what he's saying here. You just try me now in this. And he says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. How many of y'all have been blessed by operating in obedience in this area of your life? And by the way, quit thinking about financial blessings. There are other blessings that are even better than money. Hello? Your kid may get the job and the career that he or she's always wanted if you'll operate under this principle. You may get that healing in your body that you wanted. That relationship may be restored that you've been wanting. There are many blessings besides just financial blessings. Now, he may put a Cadillac out in your driveway. I don't know. But I've come here today to tell you, as your pastor, if I'm not your pastor, you need one. If you don't have a church home, you need one. And I've come here today to tell you, God wants to bless you. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I just believe that's what the book teaches. He says, I'll bless you. Do you want to live under a curse or a blessing? And by the way, if you don't tithe, that tithe is going to some lawyer, some doctor, some hospital, some nurse. Y'all with me? You're going to give it somewhere. Hallelujah. I just want to give it right here. And you bring it to the Lord. Now you give to the Lord through the local church. Okay? And guess who is going to have to give an account for the way we spent God's money? You're looking at him. It's not the finance team. It's not the treasurer. It's not the deacons. It's me. And so I'll never ask you all to do anything that I don't feel 100% dead sure this is what God's calling us to do. Are y'all okay? I've promised you here I'll never leave you bleeding. I'll always bind up your wounds before you get out of here. I got two more good points and we'll be done, okay? So we honor God by our giving on the first day of the week or whenever you get paid or whatever. You bring that tithe in here. And then an offering, I didn't say that, is over and above your tithe. We did an offering last 2 weeks ago for our North American missionaries. And y'all did so well, gave over $7,000. Our goal was $2,500. Somebody shout, praise God. All right. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Oh, I love to hear those pages. And I hate hearing those cell phones. All right. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. There it is. And so, the third thing I want to say to you is that when we operate under this financial principle through giving and honoring God, God blesses the local church. God blesses the local church. Now, here's the plan. You know, we've got all these ministries in the church and outside the church, and God's plan is to fund the ministry through you and me. That's the plan. There is no plan B. And He's put the money in our pockets to fund the ministries of this church. We don't have to go out here and beg, borrow, and plead with a lost world and do bake sales and do all this ridiculous stuff, put our girls in bikinis on the side of the road to do car washes. We give. Well, that's a tough word to hear, I know. But God expects us to fund them. And as we give, God blesses the local church. Do y'all know we give thousands of dollars away every year to ministries out in the county and in the city? We give to FCA. We give to Young Life. We give to the Gideon ministry and help them to buy Bibles. We give to the Loaves and Fishes and Manna Cafe. We give to the Good News Clubs. We give, we adopted Moore Magnet School. We've given money to the Kenwood community in the school program. We take care of financial needs of the BCM, the Baptist Collegiate Ministry, over at Austin Peay. And you're giving funds things that are going on in and through the church. MoCo Day, Sunday School Ministries. I was reading a newsletter from Mission Voice Network this morning, Billy, and their Sunday School class supports Mission Voice Network over in India. Our giving supports children's ministries and music and media ministry, men's conferences, women's ministries, nursing home ministry, military ministry, vacation Bible school, backyard kids clubs, backpack and food pack ministries. And you can go on and on and on, food pantry ministries. You can go on and on and on. Our giving blesses Second Mile Church and others in the community. Can I get a witness this morning? Last year our budget was around $550,000. This year it's probably going to be closer to over $600,000. And let me just give you some costs in case y'all don't know. We have bills to pay. Hello? We do. And by the way, we've taken on a new campus. Now, I want to tell y'all something. God gave us 4 acres and 3 buildings out of Kenwood. We didn't pay a dime for it. You know why He gave it to us? Because we give and we pray. And if we'll continue to give and pray, God will take care of our space needs. $550,000 budget. Insurance here and out at Kent, about $7,500 a year. The utilities out there right now are running about $600. We don't pay utilities here because our landlord pays the utilities. Our lease agreement here is $900 a week. Maintenance and equipment costs this year were $75,000. Lawn care, landscaping, that's about $1,000 a month out at Kenwood. Benevolence needs, the deacons have a benevolence budget of $3,000 to help folks. Personnel budget is over $200,000 now. Waterworks refurbishing is coming down the pike. We're going to fix up, build some partition walls and fix 4 or 5 classrooms in the basement of the waterworks. And you know what? The C's aren't even going to charge us for that. No lease, no rent. We're going to have to pay to fix up those classrooms and get them ready to roll, but they're going to take care of the roof and the HVAC. Listen, And y'all know what? We've got almost $900,000 in the bank. Your giving blesses the local church ministry. And if we'll keep giving and we'll keep praying, God will meet the needs of Second Mile Church. I promise you that. He said He would and He will. And then thirdly, your giving, and I like this one, blesses the kingdom of God. We're a part of something a lot larger than just this and the campus out at Kenwood. You're already in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 11 in chapter 9. While you are enriched in everything, how many of y'all could say, I've been enriched? Amen. For all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service that not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. He's talking here about a special offering that was being taken up for the church in Jerusalem, and their giving was blessing the kingdom of God. And when we give, it blesses the kingdom of God. Not just here in Montgomery County, but everywhere. We're a part of the Cumberland Baptist Association. 47 Southern Baptist churches in Cumberland Baptist. We gave $5,000 to the Cumberland Baptist Association last year. Why? Because we're doing local ministry through our 47 churches. And then every Sunday, get this, when I say cooperative program giving, CP giving, well, every Sunday we send a tithe, 10% of your giving, to Nashville, Tennessee, to the Tennessee Baptist Convention, which is made up, listen to me, made up of over 3,000 churches. And that money, 50% of that money, stays in the state of Tennessee. And it goes to plant hundreds of churches, dozens of replanted churches like we've done out at Kenwood. It goes to support our great disaster relief agency, which is second only to Red Cross. It goes to support our state missionaries. It goes to support our two Bible colleges, Union and Carson Newman, and our prep school. They used to call it Harrison Chilihowie. Now it's the King's Academy. Mike and Donna Rainey's son-in-law is the head basketball coach up there. And so our giving blesses the kingdom of God. But 50% of your tithe, 50% of our 10% that we send to Nashville to the Tennessee Baptist Convention goes on to the Southern Baptist Convention. And there, that money supports six of our Southern Baptist seminaries where I was trained. Now, you may think that was a waste of money, and it might have been. But goes to support six Southern Baptists, 7,500 missionaries. I bless God our missionaries don't have to come home every 6 months and beg, borrow, and plead for money because we give every Sunday. And then we got a World Hunger Fund in the Southern Baptist Committee. And then we have the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, which we've got lobbyists in Washington on Capitol Hill. I mean, our giving blesses the kingdom of God. Every Sunday when you bring that tithe. And by the way, there's a special missions offering we take up in Christmas time. What do we call that offering? Lottie Moon. That's why when y'all hear a cell phone go off, I always say, well, there's another $100 gift to Lottie Moon. Annie Armstrong just did that. Goes to our North American missionaries at Easter. September is the golden offering. That goes to all of our state missionaries. And by the way, we've got six Tennessee Baptist children's homes that we support in our state. Six of them. We're taking in little boys and girls and raising them with godly house parents. We've got four Tennessee Baptists. You see, we're a part of something much larger than just us. And so how's it going this morning? Are you a cheerful giver? I don't want anybody walking out of here with cirrhosis of a giver. I don't. We're going to close with this. Look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Check this out. Check this out. Luke 6 and verse 38. This is a promise from the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he says. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be placed into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now, God's not like the Lay's potato chip sack when you get home. At the grocery store, you thought it was full, and then you open it up and find out there's about that much Lay's potato chip in the bag. Right? Or whatever. Ritz, I mean, whatever. But if you'll give in a way that honors God and obedience, I have never met anyone struggling financially that's given 10% and an offering over that every now and then and saving 10%. I've never met any family that struggles financially. God says, you try me. Just try this. If you've never tried tithing, just try it for one or two. Just try it for 3 months and see what God does. And I love what the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, thanks be unto God for that indescribable gift. You know who he's talking about? Jesus. He is the gift that keeps on giving. And you cannot outgive him, because he gave his all for you at the cross, and he's alive. And he's praying for each one of us. And bless God, one day he's coming to get us. Now, I want to ask you today, just flat out, are you following Jesus? Are you following him in this area of your life? What's it going to be? I, for one, have found God to be true. And I'm going to remain and continue to be a cheerful giver. Father, I don't know what you want to do with this message today. But maybe there's someone here today who has not given their life to you yet. And we can't operate as givers until we follow your example. So I pray right now, Father, that if there's someone here, some young person, some older person, that's never trusted Christ, that today's the day. If you want to be blessed, give 100% of who you are to 100% of who He is. God will bless you with peace, purpose. You'll have fulfillment, satisfaction in your life. But you need to surrender to Him today. If you've never done that, you don't have what we're talking about, please, I beg you, pray something like this. Father, I need you to forgive me of my sin. They're ever before me. Father, I believe your Son paid the price, died for all my sins. He took my place. And today, Father, as best I understand it, I'm asking you to save me. And I'm placing my trust and faith in Jesus and in Him alone. I'm yours. You're mine. Change me. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Scripture says if you prayed that way, you became a believer this morning. If you really meant business with God and turned from your sin and turned to Christ, but you can't stay private about Jesus. You got to go public and come. I talked to a couple this morning. They're going to be baptized as a sign of their salvation on May the 16th. Maybe there's someone here today and you need to come for your baptism. Or maybe you need a church home, church membership. By all means, if you prayed to receive Christ, we're going to ask that you'd come forward. We want to get you started right in your new life with Christ. Father, give us the courage right now to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew's going to lead us. Y'all stand. You come. Whatever God's laid on your heart, you just stand and come. Step out. I'll be here to receive you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.